Next up on the program, Timothy Albertino joins us. We're going to be talking about his work, of course, as an adventurer, about the new arms race, the super soldier, and it all fits into what we were talking about over the last couple hours with William Forstgen. So we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Looking at stories of robotics, by the way, Samsung Group working on a robot sentry, and this particular robot will carry out a fair amount of weapons that ought to make you think twice about crossing the borders of South Korea, for example. If you're from the north, they have been able to test it out at the demilitarized zone there. It will be able to detect intruders with the help of a machine vision, along with a combination of heat and motion sensors. The whole idea is to let the military robot sentry do the work of its human counterparts over at the demilitarized zone in South and North Korea's border, so there will be a minimal loss of life, just in case. Timothy Albertino is our special guest for the next couple hours, researcher, writer, adventurer with years of experience living and working in the Amazon basin of Peru. He has a wide range of interests, including the occult, biblical prophecy, genetics, ufology, cryptozoology. He is working with our dear friend, author Steve Quayle, producing a weekly investigative report entitled The Albertino Analysis. Please welcome to Coast, Timothy Albertino. Timothy, always a pleasure. Hi.
Hi, George. I'm excited about being on a broadcast with you tonight. I'm a longtime listener.
Well, thank you so much. And you're a friend of Steve Quayle's, so that makes you a friend of us.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more, Tim, about you and some of your work.
Well, basically, I'm doing a lot of investigative research, reporting. We've got some projects that are going with Steve. We are doing some research in Peru that has to do with giants, some of the stuff that Steve's been writing about for years. And mainly I've been focusing on the Albertino analysis. We're just covering sort of random topics that are of interest to Steve and myself and our audience.
Do you see, Tim, that this planet just seems to be moving along at such a rapid pace, but that it just seems to be topsy-turvy?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that the average citizen doesn't even really grasp how quickly things are moving in the background.
No, there's no question about it.
Yeah, in terms of technological advance, people have no clue. Very few people really can grasp how much we've actually advanced, especially behind the scenes with technology.
Will that bite us one day?
Absolutely. I think it already is, George. I think that we're so deep into this thing now that I think that the people who've got us this deep are scrambling to try and figure out what to do at this point.
You know, I've had several stories already today, Timothy. The FBI has got their new facial recognition system up and running. You know, they've got robotic sentries in South Korea watching the demilitarized zone. What else is out there that we're just not aware of yet?
Well, let's talk about there's a term called the new arms race.
All right.
And the new arms race basically refers to, just like in the Cold War, there was a supposed arm race, a nuclear arms race. I say supposed because it was more about building bases, in my opinion, building bases on the moon and on Mars and reverse engineering flying saucers than it was about nuclear arms. But basically, the new arms race is, this may surprise people, but it's predominantly about non-human technology, recovering and reverse engineering alien technology and non-human technology that's dispersed all over the earth. It's, in a sense, the new arms race is actually a very old arms race. Every major military power is scrambling to recover and decipher antediluvian technology, and that's been going on for years. And this new arms race has many compartmentalized subsections to it, one of which is the engineering of superhuman beings, literally the reinstating of the godmen from ancient times. And again, this has been going on since World War II. Of course, it began with the Nazis.
Are these cyborgs? I mean, we're going to have part machine, part human?
Yeah, basically, super soldier refers to an enhanced and or modified human being, specifically for military application. And super soldiers are literally weaponized Homo sapiens. So it's a mix of cybernetics, a mix of genetic engineering. They're mixing in robotics. It's really a mishmash of a bunch of different technologies that are just beginning to come online right now. Nanotechnologies and all sorts of technological advancements that in reality, behind the scenes, a lot of this stuff was actually developed years ago, because something that a lot of people aren't aware of is that in the background, especially in underground bases, this technology is developed years in advance, and then it leaks down to the public, and it starts to pop up, and everybody thinks it's new technology. But in reality, we're way further down the road than we even have any idea at this point.
What is fueling this, Tim? Is it competition for war? What's doing it?
Well, I think that behind this, fundamentally, what we have is we have a Luciferian faction that has amassed the majority of the wealth and power on this planet. And of course, people refer to the New World Order, to the Illuminati, and that is very much the reality. And these people have an agenda. They have an occultic agenda. It's not just about temporal power to them. They have an eternal view. They believe that they are basically buying stock in a kingdom to come. And so everything that they're doing in accordance with their occultic worldview, which is very scary, because their occultic worldview is Luciferianism, and they literally seek to enthrone who we might consider the Antichrist, but they have a very different perspective, and so that's really what's driving everything behind the scenes. There's all kinds of interaction too at this point, as you well know, with non-human factions. There's a lot of non-human elements that are involved behind the scenes with all of this.
Who is fueling it? Who's pushing it?
I would say that at the very top, I have a biblical worldview, so that's an easy question for me to answer. I can say that Lucifer is at the very top fueling this, and of course there's a hierarchy of entities underneath him. So if you go to the very top, then that would be an easy answer for me. Lucifer is at the top. This is a satanic this is a satanic agenda behind everything that's happening.
Was it the old comedian Flip Wilson who used to say, "The devil made me do it"?
Yeah. But in their Luciferians, though, they don't believe that Lucifer and the devil are the same. They believe that Lucifer is of course the Prometheus who brings enlightenment to mankind. So he's the one who arms us with knowledge, with technology. He gives us, basically, in the Luciferian worldview, he provides us with the things that God will not give us. They see God, who they refer to as Adonai, as a very selfish, self-worshipping, haughty entity, and Lucifer is freeing us from the bonds of Adonai. So, you know, you ask the question, who's fueling this? I don't think people could really... I think people would have a really hard time sleeping at night if they really could look behind the curtains and see that the impetus that's driving a lot of what's going on, even the stuff you guys were talking about in the last couple hours, the stuff going on with ISIS.
Yeah, could Lucifer be the Antichrist, Timothy?
Well, ultimately, according to the Bible, ultimately Lucifer wants to be enthroned and worshipped openly. The Antichrist draws the worship of the human race to Lucifer. I should say he deflects the worship at some point that people are lauding him. He ultimately directs everybody to worship his father, Satan. And so at the end of the day, the devil's out for the same thing that he's always been out for, which is to be worshipped. And that's how this whole mess started in the beginning, if you adopt a biblical worldview.
All right, now tie in the super soldier to what you just said.
Yeah, the super soldier situation is actually quite scary. Imagine a soldier that can outrun any animal on the planet, carry hundreds of pounds with ease, see in the dark without night vision goggles, communicate telepathically with his squadron, go weeks without eating or sleeping, regenerate limbs lost on the battlefield, and be completely controlled mind and body by military technicians thousands of miles away. What I just described is precisely what the Defense Department is actively working for. We're not talking about a Captain American personnel, a Captain America personality. We're not talking about an Iron Man. We see these personalities in the movies that are very benevolent and that are basically working for the human race. When in reality, the kind of super soldiers that we're talking about, that ultimately the government will produce, it's an inevitability at this point, which is scary because we're talking about cybernetically enhanced, genetically modified, demonically infused, mind-controlled killing machines. That's where this is all heading, and it doesn't matter if there are people in the game who have good intentions and whose primary concern is just to defend the United States. Ultimately, that's where this technology is heading. And there's really no way to stop it at this point, and that's pretty scary.
It sure is. Okay, let's get into some of the examples of what is going on here. What are they creating?
Well, I've got a few examples here that I pulled up today. DARPA's doing some things. There's a lot of things that are being done above ground, and I mean that literally because there's a lot of things being done beneath the ground in the dumps, in the deep underground military bases that we have no idea exactly what they've already accomplished down there. But there's a lot of stories popping up in the news now that are actually making the mainstream media concerning what some of the things that DARPA is doing. One of these things is it's called the ElectRx Project, and it's a self-healing. It's a project that their goal is to develop new high precision, minimally invasive technologies for modulating nerve circuits to restore and maintain human health. And the idea is basically to implant an ElectRx chip into the human body and interface it with the nervous system. And the primary goal here is to activate the different mechanisms in the human body so that the body can regenerate, can heal itself. And of course, these projects are in their early stages, but ultimately that's the goal of this particular project is regeneration, to be able to heal yourself from within. And obviously anything that the Defense Department is doing, anything that the DOD is involved in is going to have military application. And I think that escapes a lot of people when they see this stuff popping up in the news. It's always going to have military application, otherwise the Defense Department would not really be interested in it. So the goal here is to make, with this particular project, is to make the soldiers' bodies able to heal themselves through the creation of a closed-loop system of intelligent pacemakers, just like the pacemaker automatically regulates certain functions of the heart. They want these chips to be able to be integrated into the human body and to automatically regulate if something is out of whack in your body, automatically make the adjustments internally. Which that sounds like it would be primarily civilian application, but in truth, like I said, the idea is to be able to have soldiers that can regenerate after being wounded on the battlefield. There's another one here that is kind of related to this. I've got an MIT technology review here, and the heading on here is Military Funds Brain-Computer Interfaces to Control Feelings. And now this is a scary one. This ties in with the one that I just mentioned, but this one is actually pretty freaky because they spent $70 million on a program that will try and develop brain implants that can regulate emotions in the mentally ill.
That's scary.
That's very scary because this is DARPA that's funding this.
Yeah.
And supposedly they want to control the emotions of the mentally ill. So we see how our veterans are already being treated in this country with the whole scandal with the Veterans Hospital. The last thing that we need is the Department of Defense being able to being able to manipulate their emotions. And obviously mentally ill, there's a whole litany of things that fall under that umbrella.
Timothy, could the hybridization program we hear so much about, abductions that people think are extraterrestrial, could they be us doing it, and what they're doing is raising these children to be super soldiers?
I would say that some of it's us. Of course, you know, the MyLab scenarios where the military abductions. Yeah, I think that I think we've realized at this point that we have virtual reality scenario technologies. Carla Turner used to talk about that a lot. And so, yeah, we have a situation now where the military is actively abducting people, at least it was, definitely in the 90s, and pretending that they were extraterrestrials and doing their own experimentation with implants. I believe that what they're really trying to do is to mimic the technology that these other entities have been using. But I think both of those things are happening. I think they're both still happening. In fact, I would say that the abduction scenario is increasing, that the abduction phenomenon is actually increasing both in the extraterrestrial and in the MyLab arenas. So, yeah, the government is definitely doing something, experimenting with some of these chips, that they're implanting into people, and they're not telling us about that, obviously.
Might there be some camp somewhere where they have all these hybrid children?
Yeah, I think that I think it's possible that, again, I'll refer to the deep underground military bases. We have no idea what's going on. I mean, millions of kids, at least hundreds of thousands of kids, go missing every year still. And so if you're going to test, this is a really sinister thing. This really makes me sick. But it's the truth. If you're going to test genetic, if you're going to do genetic experimentation, in many cases, they're going to want to select children because they're still developing genetically. Also with the cybernetics, because the body can begin to integrate this stuff as it's developing rather than taking an adult and kind of doing a cold turkey situation, integrating cybernetics or trying to generate or engineer certain genetic changes. So the hybridization, that's a humongous subject. I think that the government, I don't think, is as involved as the hybridization as the non-human faction, but I could be wrong. But I think whatever they're doing in terms of whatever the non-human factions are doing out there, I think that the governments, the developed governments of the world, the developed military complexes, like our military-industrial complex, is trying to keep pace. So they're mimicking whatever they can, you know what I mean, as a defense mechanism.
From the technology we realize right now, Tim, how far ahead are they? How many years do you think?
Oh, I've heard lots of different estimates. I think they're at least, I think this is probably, I know Steve would tell me this is a very conservative estimate. They're at least 100 years ahead of us.
Wow.
And that's obvious. Even for a lot of people might roll their eyes at that, but all you have to do is see what the Nazis had developed, had under development by the end of World War II.
So this is human technology is 100 years ahead of what we think we have.
Human technology is at least 100 years ahead of what we have in public view, but it's not necessarily human technology. Most of it is reverse engineered.
Timothy, for people who want to see your investigative report, how do they find you?
They can find me on stevequayle.com. There's a link on the right-hand side of the website, the El Bueno Analysis. It's in red. Also, you can find me on YouTube. You can just type in the El Bueno Analysis, and I think I've got about a dozen videos.
Okay,
right,
and that's ALBERINO. We're going to come back in a moment, Tim, and talk more about this high technology, and I want to get into some of your thoughts about, the Garden of Eden. We'll be back. And next hour, of course, being interactive, we'll take your phone calls with Timothy El Bueno as we talk about the super soldier and prophecy as well, coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Timothy El Bueno with us. Timothy, as you look at all this, and of course Steve Quayle is heavily into prophecy. Do you get into that too?
Yes, very much so.
Are we on the cusp of predicting something about the future that we might not want to see happen?
Yeah, well, my take is a little bit different than a lot of people's in terms of Bible prophecy, because a lot of people are focused on, for example, the New World Order and the consolidation of power in some kind of a global governance, which is certainly happening. But there's something that I see coming that is one of the most dynamic situations that humanity has faced up until now. And it's called the genetic revolution, and is right around the corner. And I think that when you talk about Bible prophecy, I think that the key to understanding so much of Bible prophecy, especially in relationship to the last days, is genetics and the genetic revolution. And again, we haven't even begun. The genetic revolution has not even begun yet. We are just beginning to creep into it. And when it starts, everything is going to change. So I think that that's where a lot of my focus is. So I'm looking at, that's why the super soldier stuff interests me so much, because obviously you know that whenever the government's really interested in something for military application, they pour billions of dollars into it, funds that otherwise would not be directed towards these kinds of technologies. But because they have military application, they're going to be advanced at a very rapid and shocking pace. So I think that's absolutely fundamental, key to understand that the way that we define humanity is about to change, and that's huge.
Is that good or bad?
I believe it's bad, because we have to ask the question. It's a philosophical question that not many people are really asking yet, but it is going to be such an immense issue in the future. And it's simply this: what does it mean to be a human being? What does it actually mean to be human? And are our genetic trademarks as human beings, are those worth preserving? Should we preserve our genetic trademarks as human beings? And this may not register for a lot of people. That question, what does it mean to be a human, really may not mean much to people right now. But give it 10 years, and it's going to be a completely different scenario.
Well, I think you might be right about that. Let's talk about the kind of technology they have. Do you see the day that instead of soldiers, they'll all be robots?
Yeah, I think that it's going to happen simultaneously with the super soldier. I think that's what we're doing right now. We're developing. Obviously, we're already flying drones around. We've had drones for a long time, by the way, a lot longer than they've been paraded in public view. But they're developing the robotics at the same time as they're developing the genetics. The reason why they can progress further and faster in robotics is because there aren't as many ethical questions tied up in building robots. If we want to build robots and station them at our different bases around the world, that's not going to be an ethical issue for people. That makes sense to people. We're already flying drones around. But if we want to genetically modify human beings, we want to splice the genes of non-human creatures with human beings and have super soldiers out there on the battlefield, that is a ethical situation. That's a moral question. And so they're able at this point in time to move the robotics thing along more at a more rapid pace than they are the genetics. But I think the two go hand in hand.
When you look at where we're headed over the next 5-10 years technologically, how does that tie in to the super soldier and what's happening now?
Well, this is all moving towards what people have called Mankind 2.0. Sometimes you hear it referred to as Humanity 2.0. We're actually coming into a scenario in the future, I would say maybe some 10, 15 years down the road, where if the United States military is going to compete on the battlefield, they're going to have super soldiers on the battlefield. Why?
Everywhere.
Because the Chinese are going to have them on the battlefield, and because the Russians are going to have them on the battlefield. So that's why I said it's an inevitability.
How do you defeat them? How do you defeat a robot?
Well, I don't
blow it up or what?
I have no idea what the countermeasures that they're. I'm sure that they have some kind of, especially when it relates to robotics. Maybe some kind of mini EMP, you know, that you could disable the purely robotic entities. Now think about that, George. That's interesting because I see super soldiers, genetically modified, cybernetically enhanced super soldiers, as actually being more valuable assets on a battlefield than a robot, than a drone, because a super soldier would be, and we're talking about a human super soldier, would be able to adapt to different situations, different scenarios. They wouldn't be as susceptible to an EMP, kind of an EMP strike, for example, a localized EMP strike. They would actually be equipped to deal with a wider range of threats rather than just, you know, a purely mechanical soldier or robot or something like that on the battlefield. So I actually think that in terms of technology, in terms of the focus of the Defense Department, I think it's more on genetic super soldiers than it is on actually putting robots on the battlefield. That's my opinion. I could be wrong, but that's my opinion.
What do you do, Tim, if that super soldier turns on you?
Well, that's why so much of the research and development that's being done by DARPA concerns mind control. They don't want just super soldiers that can do amazing things. They want to be able to control the super soldiers, mind and body, literally. That's a very scary thought, but I mean, we've already seen, of course, the famous MK Ultra programs and the Monarch programs. They've been trying to perfect the mind control stuff for a long time, because these soldiers, they literally want them to be interfaced with the command center. In other words, they want to be able to control. They want to be able to see what they see, to hear what they hear. But they also want to be able to control them from a distant command center. And that is very frightening to me, because if a human soldier is no longer in control of his own, let's just say his own consciousness, for example, it may not even be a question in the future of right and wrong. I mean, right now, soldiers have the option of, they have to take orders, they have to follow through. But the problem for the Defense Department, unfortunately, and for all these different nations that are developing this technology, is that soldiers have a conscience. That's a problem. I say unfortunately, that's a problem, and that's something that they're actually trying to bypass. Now think about that. They want to bypass the human conscience, and the human consciousness, one's own moral bearing, one's own moral compass. That is an impediment when you talk about super soldiers. And again, that's a very, very frightening concept. But the evidence is everywhere. The evidence is everywhere that the government is actively pursuing to be able to bypass the moral bearing of a human being in terms of a soldier, so that they can get these people to commit atrocities, really, and not have it affect them psychologically.
And they can always say, we didn't order it.
Exactly, precisely.
What you had an encounter with some kind of top secret military technology. What was that?
Yeah, it's interesting because I speak so boldly about the kind of technologies that's out there, partly because I've done research. You know, a lot of people can go and research. There's plenty of stuff to research. But the primary reason why I speak so boldly about the technology being so far advanced is because I've seen it with my own eyes. And I've been researching this stuff for a number of years, and at one point in time, I was really very curious about the anti-gravity, the zero-point energy kind of field of study. Very curious about how the flying saucer technology operates and all that kind of stuff. And so I was looking into a lot of different sources, and right in the midst of that period of time, which was really in 2013 is really when it culminated, I was with my brother-in-law, and we were driving down the road. It was in the evening, probably somewhere in between 6 o'clock and 8. I can't remember. I know it was dark, and it was the winter. I think it was February of 2013. We're driving down the road, and we happened to be in the neighborhood in which I grew up, Brook Park, Ohio. So I was very familiar with this area, and we're pulling into a shopping complex to the parking lot. We're heading for the parking lot. We were going to go to a store and buy some things, and it was a very bizarre situation, because as we were pulling up to the parking lot, we noticed that there was a craft literally hovering above one of the stores. It was like a strip mall. It was hovering above one of the stores, and it was dark outside. So it was very bright. It had it was a very large craft. At first, my brother-in-law and I, we thought that this was one of those troop transporter helicopters, you know, the kinds with the double blades, because that's the size of that. That was about the size of what this was. And we thought, what are they doing? They must be doing some kind of a test run or something, or a drill. And instantly we rolled down our windows, because obviously if you're going to have one of those huge helicopters, and it was only about, it wasn't any more than 100 feet off the ground. I mean, it was not
that
high.
Okay.
And so obviously you would expect it to be making a lot of noise. So we rolled down the windows right away. We're looking at it thinking, what is a helicopter doing? We thought it was a military, one of those troop carriers. We're rolling the windows down, and we don't hear anything. And obviously, because I'm into ufology, and I know one of the very first things that you check for is to see if there's any sound coming from the craft. Because if there's not, you've got something very interesting right away. So there was nothing, no sound whatsoever. So there's this large vehicle hovering above the store, only about 100 feet in the air, and there's not a sound coming from it. So now we're really interested. We realized really quickly that this is not just some kind of a helicopter or conventional aircraft. So we pulled into the driveway. I don't even know how I got into that driveway, because I was literally just fixated on this craft. We pulled into the driveway, into the parking lot of the shopping complex, and it was a cold, windy day. That's the other thing. It was very windy, and this craft was just hovering there. It wasn't moving at all, and it had very bright lights on it, and I just threw the car into park right in the middle of the parking lot, and both of us, our jaws just dropped because this craft literally, now you have to remember, this is right in the midst of me studying all of this and my brother-in-law as well. This thing literally begins to come down, come even lower, and come right over our car. And we weren't the only ones who saw it, by the way. There were other people who I noticed were in their cars gawking at it from, you know, behind their windshields. This vehicle begins to descend directly over us as if to make sure that we see it and we get a good look at it. It begins to descend right over us, and it couldn't have been more than 50 feet in the air above us. And we're looking directly through the windshield at this craft. And we realized very quickly that this was not any kind of a helicopter. It was I've never seen anything like it, so it's so hard for me to describe. But
did you see structure underneath it?
Yes, it was something like, I don't know if you've seen the pictures of the Aurora craft.
Yeah, sure.
Back in the 80s, yep. It was something like the Aurora craft, and it had wings. It had structure to it, but the wings weren't very broad, and it was descending over us. It was obviously not a helicopter. There was no visible propulsion system whatsoever. There was no sound. There were no propellers.
Who do you think was flying it?
It was military. That I was pretty sure of. This was military.
You think they reverse engineered it?
Absolutely.
Stole it? What?
Absolutely. I had a very distinct feeling that I was looking at classified, reverse engineered craft. I mean, if you don't hear any, if there's no visible propulsion system, there's no, you know, it's not like those jets that can take off straight off from the ground. And, you know, if there's anything below them, they just blow them out of the way because of the propulsion coming out of the bottom of those things. There was nothing, no sound, no propulsion system, no propellers. It had triangular lights on it. It had blue and green lights and also triangular white lights on it. And the body armor on this thing was very interesting. It was very stealthy. That's really what gave it away to me as military. It wasn't the typical aluminum-type, shiny, smooth that you see on a saucer, for example. This was stealth-looking military body armor. And so, again, it was about maybe even less than 50 feet above us, literally descending right over us.
Easy to see.
Yeah, I mean, it was right there. And we were looking at it. I couldn't believe how long it was just sitting there. And it was sort of oscillating in the air. And so obviously... Obviously, it's not running on gasoline. I mean, it's not running on jet fuel. This is obviously some kind of anti-gravity technology, has to be. And we just watched this thing there for a little while, almost as if it was there to show us that it was there, and then it moved off down over the horizon. And interestingly enough, very slowly, actually, just sort of hovered away, went towards the John Glenn NASA Center by the Hopkins International Airport. Again, I've never seen anything like that in my life. I grew up in Brook Park, Ohio. Never seen anything like that. And so that pretty much just absolutely sealed the deal for me on everything that I had been studying.
That's a great sighting.
Yeah. So the technology's there. And, I mean, the implications of that is just vast. I mean, you know, we're all driving around in gas-powered cars, and whoever's operating that kind of military hardware is light years ahead of us.
It is going to happen one day where we find out exactly what's going on, don't you think?
I do. I'm one of those people who does believe that there will be disclosure. I think it's inevitable.
Probably from whistleblowers.
Yeah, I think so. I think whistleblowers, but at some point in time, George, you know, this stuff is going to show up on the battlefields. Think about it. I know that China and Russia are at the same time rushing to develop this technology. So at some point in time, if they pull this stuff out on the battlefield, we're going to have to follow suit.
I want to talk with you about some of your visits to the Amazon, because I understand you had some paranormal activity there too, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a very bizarre situation that when you get out into the jungle regions or the wilderness regions, it seems that the paranormal activity actually increases. There's all kinds of we experienced all kinds of things out there. A lot of it had to do actually with contention with shamans. Those guys, I've seen some very frightening things connected to shamans. I've actually seen people who have gone and visited a shaman. Either they themselves have gone and visited a shaman, or somebody went to a shaman to put some kind of a hex on them. And I've actually seen people who are normal one day, and then the next day, all their bones and joints are fused together.
All right, stay with us, Tim. We're going to come back in a moment. Talk more about the super soldiers, this incredible technology, and we'll take phone calls too on Coast to Coast AM.